So, I didn't really know what to entitle today's message, because it's not a resolution, it's more of a commitment that I want to challenge you with today. So, it's that time of year again, it's the new year, everybody's got resolutions. You know, last year mine was to go to the gym, but by February I stopped going to the gym, so it didn't work out very well for me. What's yours? What's your New Year's resolution this year?
To get my red belt in karate.
Get your red belt in karate. What about you, Lucy? This has got to be good.
It isn't New Year's yet. I haven't even thought of that.
What about you, Marie? What's yours? What's your New Year's resolution? Yeah, you don't know?
I know.
Oh, you got one? What's yours?
To get my orange belt.
To get your orange belt?
Wow.
I think Molly's is to behave in church. Well, I made it easy for me. I'm going to make my Sherman shorter. It should be real easy for me. But all jokes aside, let's talk about some commitments. That's what we're going to call these. We're going to call them commitments, not resolutions. Because a resolution is the act of resolving or determining upon an action or a course of action and a method or procedure. When you make a resolution, every year we gather all the stuff. So I gathered all the gym clothes. I got my gym membership. I did all the research on what kind of workout routine I should do. And then somewhere around like the second week of January, I gave that up. Try again next year. It wasn't the interest that I lost. It wasn't the passion that I lost. It was my commitment. My commitment wasn't there. See, a commitment is a pledge or a promise. It's an obligation. You got to really analyze your goals. Will you do it if you're tired, if you're sick? Commitment is the difference between success and mediocrity. I'm going to give you four commitments today. These four commitments will make a radical difference in our lives, the church's life. These four commitments that God in His own Word encourage us to do, and if we make these commitments, 2020 could become one of the most significant events of your life. In a moment, we will go over God's advice that we can make this your best year yet. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go about today, we want to ask Your Spirit to flow through this church. And Lord, let my words be Your words. We recognize that nobody is here by accident, Lord. Everyone came here today because You put them there. And Lord, let's keep that in mind as we go about today's service. Amen. So our first commitment, you guys can follow along, but I have ADHD, so I'm like all over the place. So you're more than welcome to follow along. I use the same Bible that's underneath your chairs. So we're going to start with Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13 through 14.
Did you say Philippians?
Philippians, yes. Paul writes, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus." This little piece of God's advice has stood the test of time. And it's relevant and practical to start the year of 2020. Paul reduced the whole sanctification to one thing. One simple, clear goal, pursuing Christ's likeness, forgetting what lies behind. We must not be bogged down by our past failures. God's telling us to not dwell in the past so much that it stops us from moving forward to the future that God has for us. 2020 is the year to rise for this commitment. To say, "God, with Your help, I'm going to forget my past. I'm going to stop torturing myself. I must stop branding myself as a failure. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. When we become Christians, forgiveness becomes a reality. What we read here is with Jesus Christ's sacrifice, we can forgive ourselves and let go of our failures. So let's do that now. Let's take a moment to pass off our failures and forgive ourselves. Let's ask God for help. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we're here today to ask you to help us let go of our past. Let go of our past failures so that we can move forward. So that we can move forward with your plan, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our next commitment, here's the part where I start jumping around. Our next commitment comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Did you guys catch that? God's challenging us here. Forgive one another. Don't hold a grudge. When we hold grudges, they're going to ruin every single relationship in your life. Marriage, family, your friendship, churches. Church in general, a grudge can split a church. Christians hold against each other. If you're holding a grudge, God's got something to say. Give it up. Forgive them wholeheartedly as He has us. When you hold on to a grudge, you hurt yourself more, perhaps, than you hurt the person you're holding it against. If you keep holding this grudge, it's eventually going to destroy you. Physically, and certainly emotionally and spiritually. It makes you bitter and twisted. In Job chapter 21, he describes this. Who have no happiness at all, they live and die with bitter hearts. Is that how you want to be remembered? Bitter? Unhappy? I'm reminded of a parable that Jesus told about a servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king. And then he refused to forgive someone with just the tiniest of debts. And Jesus said his unforgiving spirit landed him in prison. God says in his words, don't sentence yourself to prison. Set yourself free. Give up your grudges and forgive each other. It's pretty simple. He didn't say ignore it. Pretend it didn't happen. Condone it. Pretend that it didn't matter to you, because it did. That's why you're holding the grudge. But forgive the grievance. Acknowledge how wrong and painful it was, but choose to forgive. I'm certain some folks in here, there are some folks in here that need to give up some grudges. I've got a few myself. Maybe it's against your parents, your children, a partner, somebody at work. Someone inside this congregation? Now is the time to forgive. The start of 2020 is the year you give up the grudge. Our third commitment is going to come from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace with all men. God wants us to do everything that we can to restore our relationships. things go wrong because of what others do, and they may not want that relationship to be repaired. And God knows that. Which is why he starts here and says, if possible. Let's be honest. Sometimes these relationships fail or go wrong because it's something that we have done. Maybe they're holding a grudge against us. Maybe their grievance is from that grudge that they're holding against us. And there might not be anything you can do about it. When he says, so far, it depends on you to be at peace with all men. He's saying, if you cause the problem, it's your duty to do everything that you can to repair that relationship. I know I'm not the only one that finds it really hard to say you're wrong. But how many relationships could be repaired if somebody would just say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And ask that person for forgiveness. Maybe the start of 2020 is when we restore the relationships we ruined by sincerely saying, we are sorry. Sorry for the angry words, my selfish actions, my unthoughtful actions. It's going to be hard, but let's all commit to restore broken relationships and seek forgiveness from those that we hurt. Let's start now. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord and pray for his help in this. Lord, we want to ask you for your help to let go of our grudges. And Lord, give us the strength to say we're sorry and try to repair these broken relationships that we've had over the past few years so that we can start out this new year fresh and ready to do your work, Lord. Amen. Our fourth commitment comes again from Paul's letter to Romans, chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. The mortal body, the only remaining repository where sin finds the believer vulnerable. The brain and its thinking processes are part of that body and tempts our souls with its sinful lusts. This last commitment is probably one of the most important commitments. God is challenging us here to not let sin control our lives, to not give in to the lustful desires. Most of us give up certain sins easily when we are saved. Others we really struggle with. We give in to them and we become hypocrites and live double lives. We continue to do the same thing over and over. After becoming overwhelmed with guilt. Like a big growth on our neck, we just learn to live with it. After a while, it just is what it is. Nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm just going to do this. So, Lord, please forgive me. That's what continues to cripple our spiritual life. It's our temper, maybe our harsh words, speedy and critical judgment. Or is it some other sin you keep giving into? Here's God's challenge for us. To stop giving in to sin, whatever it is. To turn our backs on it and stop letting it control our lives. God wants us to stop obeying our old master. Jesus' death broke the power of sin. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to resist it. And we can claim victory over our sin. God says we are no longer slaves to our sin and to stop acting like it. Let's ask God for his help to resist that sin, the sin that's crippled us this year, so that this new year and be a new era in our spiritual life. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we're going to ask you to help us resist those sins that keep coming up and that we just kind of learn to live with over the years. We want to ask for your help in resisting all sin, but especially those that keep coming up. In Jesus' name, amen. So in conclusion, see, time. Keeping up my resolution. Is this new year going to be just a calendar-changing event, or are you going to rise to the challenges of God's Word here today? Are you going to make these commitments and make it a life-changing event? Will you commit to forget your failures? Will you commit to give up your grudges and truly forgive those who have wronged you? Will you commit to restore your relationships and ask for forgiveness of those who have wronged you, who you have wronged? And will you commit to turning your back on the sins that crippled you in the past? Make 2020 something to really celebrate. Change your life and the lives of those around you. Have the courage today to forgive yourself and forget the past. Forgive others who have hurt you. Ask for forgiveness from those you have hurt. And ask God for the power to resist sin and no longer be a slave to it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these words today. And Lord, bless this church and all within it, so that we may be servants of you, Lord, and go out upon this world and spread your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.